Okay, well, it's Saturday morning, and here we are on Saturday once again, trying to get out the word of what's going on and how to look at it. And again, as I said, I love the main title we have, What Do We Have to Lose? Then we just update it for what we're going to talk about that given day. Today we put down the subtitle for today is Look Back and Plan Ahead. I remember when I was a kid and I started to learn to hear what people were saying to me and try and think whether they were just controlling me or telling me to learn what was good or bad for me. So as a kid growing up in a dense place like New York City, you heard quite often when you ran out in the street, look both ways. They don't want you to get hit. Even if it was a one-way street, you never know who's coming out of a driveway or coming up the street on a bicycle. So, look back and plan ahead is that history has taught us, as I started to study it, read more, and understand, that there are things that people have tried before in different situations, but the idea is similar. Whether it was Napoleon or Hitler or anybody else who opened up too many fronts when they thought they were big and bad. And could just open up another part of the war, and they either ran out of enough supplies to take care of it, or enough people, or enough planning for the second front that they were fighting in a different theater. So, again, look back and plan ahead is the idea we should look at what's happened. For example, the Spanish flu, as they call it, 1917 to 1918. Before they had computers and electronics and all these good things and even radios all over the place, they dealt with it. They thought they had it beaten when a couple of million people died, and then they kind of ratcheted back, and then there was a new wave of it coming back from the bordering countries and reinfecting. So what we have to recognize is that history and events can teach us to be a little more careful, to study a little more, to ask some questions before we go ahead with everything. We do get to a point where it's an emergency and you've got to just start doing things to change something because there may be a patient right on the table under you. But as this wave is coming toward us of this spread of this COVID-19, we have to take a little more care in what we're looking at. For example, we have a president who wants to start everybody working again because obviously he's been living off the gracious economy he was handed. And he kept saying, look how great the stock market's going. Look how this, look how that. He handed money out to people. He didn't do any oversight. So, people just took advantage. Money handed to the wealthy, corporations getting breaks. See, the economy kept growing. It wasn't a mess, as he called it. But now, because he doesn't understand the totality of what a government and a country is, rather than a project, as I mentioned before, Trump used up most of his father's money that his father built up, which was easily a half a billion dollars of ownership of real estate in New York. And his father used to bail him out when he'd do projects. So he likes to tell us how great he is and how wonderful. But he's generally been a failure at things, except for figuring out how to put money in his pocket, even if he walked away from projects and bankrupted operations and took no more blame for it and just said, no, somebody else did something wrong. So think about it. This president has liked to step out and tell us how he saw this coming, and he banned these flights from China and a few of the other Asian countries. So he was smart. Well, that's great. But what was your follow-through once it started? Don't just stand there and say, well, we only have 15 cases. It'll be down to zero. It's going to magically disappear. The weather will get warmer. If you believe in the tooth fairy, I'll give you a buck for your next tooth that you lose. So the lack of leadership is the problem. He's had people out there, and when you listen to what the governor is and all the reporting is, and this is not fake news. This is from the front lines of what's happening, that all the governors and mayors are finding out that they're out there, and the companies are saying, well, you're bidding against FEMA, you're bidding against the US government, you're bidding against the other city. The idea of the Defense Production Act is to let the government try and order what we need in a crisis and distribute it as we need it. But not with a guy who likes to have turmoil so that he looks better and he hopes people look bad. He's not going to be able to open the country, and if he does, the areas he's going to touch. So if he recognizes that this was coming from China and then he doesn't recognize what's going on, as it's growing in front of his very damn face. So we have to all look and understand what we're dealing with and take more care. This is a time when the country is learning that freedom isn't free. It was paid for before. We didn't have a war lately that we're all invested in. But now we're all invested in this attack by this foreign substance, wherever it came from, whatever it's called. And it doesn't care where we live, where the border is, what color we are, whatever. So the thing to understand is we're all in this together. As I've said, it's our country. We pay for it through our taxes. We own it. And we have to do things to keep it so that we can run around free and do what we want and play ball on the weekend and disregard voting if we don't feel like voting. It's up to us to behave like we want this country to continue, and we want the benefits we all grew up with. And this battle is showing us, and I'm proud, the empty streets, the people staying in their house, this is not punishment. This is what we're all doing. We are all serving our country and our effort and each other. So we don't just have to look at people like me, old veterans, and say thank you for your service. I thank everybody for their service because they're getting the point that this isn't a joke, this is something real, and a lot of people are going to die from it. Today you have the pleasure of my alter ego being here, so you'll hear a different voice for a lot of the show. Let me let her start talking, and got a lot of stuff to go over, so let her go through them.
Well, hello to everyone. It's always a pleasure being on this show. Unfortunately, this morning we had some problems with the streaming on Facebook. So here we are. Hopefully, you guys stay tuned and get some good, you know, information of what we have to say. We have a very long list of topics. One has to do with the Affordable Health Care Act, the other with the bailout, the steel industry, our primaries. Some cases that have been decided by the Supreme Court. That's very important. And so I think that we need to have a talk. And the host actually mentioned the 1918 Spanish flu, which, by the way, started in America, not over in Europe. Just so that people are clear, even though the president lied as he normally does. We have a situation now that it's both political in nature. I'm always amazed. I continue to be amazed that people are actually giving Trump the benefit of the doubt. He's a liar. He doesn't care. He's maniacal. When you have a serial killer, they're very brilliant people. They're very tactical people. They know what they're doing. They're actually, you know, daring you to do something about what they're doing. And the more they get away with it, the more they become emboldened, which is what's happening with Trump. The more he has taken control of the country, the more emboldened he is. He knows exactly what he's doing. He really doesn't care. The fact that he would tell governors, you have to be grateful and treat me nice for me to do right by you, should be concerning to everybody. And I'll tell you why. This is a country with 50 states. If anybody belongs to a group or a club or an association, a lot of times you pay dues. Every state is paying dues to the federal government. And the biggest states that are paying more dues to support the smaller states are the Northern Democratic states. And you may hate to listen to that, but that is a fact. So if you're paying dues, maybe what you need to do, Northern state, is withhold every damn penny that you send to the federal government that this president has decided to distribute only to Southern and states and small communities that support him, because these people don't understand how this distribution of money takes place. Get out of the membership and you take care of your own people, and let's see what the federal government is going to do then. We need a federal government. And the other thing that I want to say is, I'm tired of people talking about they don't want government in their lives. Well, if you don't want government in your lives, you should not be getting no money whatsoever from no bailout, because you don't need the federal government. You don't need your state government. You can make it on your own. People, you got to understand that when you're voting for people, telling them you hate this and hate that, and when they take it away, you're shocked because you are so used to getting everything without fighting for it. It is so true what Kennedy said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Trump has never done anything for this country. His children has never done anything for this country. Only the military people who are either were forced or volunteered to go and fight for an ideal, they have done something for this country. But the most of us are actually benefiting from the people who have died, who have fought wars to give you a democratic country, who have fought to have civil rights, who were maimed, burned, hung, everything, so that you can have a comfortable life, and you're throwing it away because you don't want to read, you don't want to research, you're just listening to a wolf screaming all the time. And I know that most humans are geared to look at the taller person and the loudest person, and somehow they think these person are brighter and they're going to take care of you and they're better. That's not the case. So I do want to talk about what's happening with the Affordable Health Care Act that unfortunately the racist Republican Party keeps calling Obamacare, so that they can keep the very same people in these southern states, in these little towns, in these Midwestern towns who are using the Affordable Health Care Act and actually need it, up in an uproar because you're calling it Obamacare. Well, the northern Democratic states have decided to go ahead and open enrollment so that people can get the benefit of having some coverage under this coronavirus crisis that we're suffering through. And the president has decided that he may open up the enrollment earlier. But guess what, people? Sitting right now on the desk of Justice Roberts is a case to repeal the Affordable Health Care Act that 28 Republicans, starting with Ted Cruz, representing the state of Texas, filed, and they submitted a letter from the president and the Justice Department to Roberts to go ahead and get rid of it. The hypocrisy of this man standing up and lying so much every day, and people are disregarding his lies and believing it. It's amazing to me. So you need to go and look at Texas versus the United States. Please, please go read the case. Get a dictionary if you don't understand the words that are actually written in the case. It's going to be looked at as of September or October of this year. And all of you who are depending on this will find yourselves with nothing, and nothing has been replaced. You know why? Because we are too busy looking at wealthy people, dreaming to be like them, thinking they're better than us, thinking they're the only ones that can lead us. And they have a means to get to doctors. They don't need the normal doctors that are in the normal hospitals and clinics. They've got their own private one. They can get on a plane and go anywhere in the world and get the treatment that they need. You cannot do that. So if you really want to save something, you need to say something, and your vote counts.
Again, what happened in the last election that got Trump in was a lot of apathy, because Trump wasn't really talking about issues. The issues he kept were simple, ones that people have heard before, we're going to replace and repeal. He's had 3 years. Have you seen him come out with a new medical plan? I've explained it over time that the Affordable Health Care Act came out of the Heritage Foundation, one of the most conservative foundations, which Mitt Romney used a sample of that when he was Massachusetts governor to put a health care plan in there. So this is a conservative Republican plan. They can't come up with a better one because this was a good plan that they came up with. And all they're doing is using it as a distraction. So he's there, he says things you want, but he really won by labeling people like a school kid on the streets. He's fat, he's ugly, he's stupid. And he walks around making these things and looking big and bad. And you say, well, wow, this guy is wealthy and successful. Remember again, he failed at almost everything he did. His father spent hundreds of millions bailing him out. Then as his father died and he took over the assets and used them up, he himself realized how to make sure he had money in his pocket, even if he bankrupted a project. He just wanted recognition, wants his name up there. He didn't care how many people didn't get paid or what didn't get back to a bank. That's why the banks in America no longer would work with him. That's why the foreign banks who recognized a chance to get into projects here and make more money said, let's lend this man money. And as I explained in one of my former podcasts, I said the Russian government, especially run by a former KGB top operative, they're not stupid. They understand I can spend hundreds of billions building up my armament and fighting you, or I could spend a couple of billion funding a jerk who, when I put enough money in his pocket, will do what I say. Which one would you do? Risk lives and then your people don't like that they're being killed? Or pay a couple of billion through the Deutsche Bank into Trump's projects to make sure that he keeps going and he favors you? It's not hard to recognize when you deal with this. I had a lot of international business experience with projects that worked, with governments that wanted to do something for their people. Never paid anybody off, never played any of those games, just put things together smarter that worked. So we're dealing with someone who's just got an ego and he just wants money in his pocket. And man, women, what did he do? He made Hillary Clinton like a criminal. Crooked Hillary. Now, we know this man is crooked. You've seen the evidence while I went through his impeachment. He paid people to silence them. He used his own foundations illegally. Just because the Senate went along and didn't finalize the impeachment, he was still impeached on facts, on evidence, on witnesses who were sworn in, which didn't happen in the Senate, because they wanted to play along with the man who's giving them what they want. Mitch McConnell, before he dies, I guess he wants to leave enough judges that he figures are going to do whatever he thought he would want to do in the long run. We need people who look at things and update them, not people who are just there to follow one lousy line. That's not what the country was done. I believe in people making money. I believe in profit. I believe in capitalism. But it has to be within constraints that the people are taken care of. We have a social street that says we don't let people die. And we have social programs that take care of this nation. We are a family. We are the U.S. So let's get this in our heads and understand. When Cuomo was talking, every day he talks, and then when he's done with actual facts and he keeps it simple, he gives you numbers. Governor Cuomo said, and it really caught me, I had to put it down on my phone so I didn't forget it. He said that we may be socially distant right now, but we are spiritually connected. And I'm a bit older than him, closer to his father's age. His father's passed on. Mario Cuomo was also a governor of New York, and he did care about the people enough to do things for them. Nobody's perfect. I'm sure we can find a lot of things he didn't do right. But I was proud to have him as a governor of my home state at the time. And I'm happy that Governor Cuomo is stepping up and in the face of a president who says, I'm a wartime president, or before that said, I can do anything I want, is doing nothing that we need. As I've said, there's a term in law called depraved indifference. I'm hoping that people will prosecute him for that when we're done with all this, because that's a lot more than a little tea party that was called impeachment. People are dying and will continue to die because he has not done his job. Period.
Did anybody, and I don't know anybody listening today, whether you've ever heard of the People's Temple that was run by Jim Jones. 900 people he murdered by having them drink cyanide. Well, the interesting thing about Jim Jones that nobody talks about was that he was the son of a Klan member. He himself was a Klan member, had the unmitigating gall to start a church. And unfortunately, Black people, I got to get on you because you're so easily led. You followed a white man who came in and set up a church, spoke a lot of crap, took you to Guyana, and murdered the majority of you. 80% of the people following Jim Jones were Black, by the way. Families, entire families following a man who actually abused them, said a lot of racist things to them. This is what Donald Trump is. Exactly the same. He cares not about anybody, and he will never be. That is not his makeup. I want people to stop trying to make him into something he is not. So I'm going to move off of this, and I'm going to talk about the $1 trillion bailout. I will be the first one to say I don't agree with the bailout any more than I agreed with the $1 trillion that was given to wealthy people and corporations. Before Trump came into power, all of these CEOs had billions of dollars offshore. They wouldn't bring it back to America. They didn't want to pay taxes, even though they're utilizing all of our services, just like the president. Never paid taxes, but he gets the benefit of utilizing all the things that we provide for our citizens. Then he gets into office and he gives them another $1 trillion. I like to know where this money went, big corporations. What did you do with that money? They should be required to use the money that they have been enjoying for years and not get another damn penny. But I do understand that in order to get something, when you're dealing with a big body of people, you have to compromise. Thank you for the Democrats, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. It's unfortunate that they're not as loud as Trump and his lying band of merry men and the entire Republican Party. It's unfortunate they're not. But if it wasn't for them, people, you will not get the unemployment insurance that you deserve, because Mr. Ted Cruz felt that that was going to make you lazy. Why are we giving these people money? They're not going to want to go to work. Well, are any of them working? He makes $174,000 a year. How much of that money is he giving up? We're paying for that, okay? If it wasn't for the Democrats, you would not even be getting the $1,200 based on certain income levels. Not all of us are going to get it, but a good percentage of people are. You got to start looking at who's doing what for you and not look at the noise that's out there. And the biggest thing that they did was make it so that none of these damn cruise ships that are registered outside of America, that employ the majority of people that are not Americans, get a damn penny. They don't deserve it. If you're a cruise ship that is actually registered here with over 50% of Americans working, that's a different story. The Republicans didn't want that. The $500 billion that is now going to be distributed, which the president's companies are going to make money off. Just yesterday, the president said as he signed the bill, the lying snake, nobody's going to tell me what to do with this money. I don't have to listen to what Congress has to say. My attorney general reports to me. I'm sorry, the inspector general, not attorney general, the inspector general reports to me, and I will tell him what to do. That's the problem, people. That's the problem. I don't know how Congress is going to enforce making sure that he doesn't waste our money. I don't know how they're going to do it. They should have appointed somebody outside of the government and somebody outside of Trump's administration. You cannot trust him. You cannot trust Mnuchin. You cannot trust any of them.
By the way, I want to thank everybody who's listening and has listened before. And Again, we're sorry about the technical. We had to use a different location because of a lot of the things that are going on that stop us from being where we want to be to cooperate with what we should be cooperating with. Colvin on Facebook, thank you for agreeing. I hope everybody gets the point. But again, I'm not here to intimidate or inoculate or anything else. I just want you to think the way we all should, to open up, to read a lot of stuff. Between two or three different major news services, you can compare the parts that are the same and you'll figure out what's right or wrong. We all know better if we try at it. Lisa Zarnik, Trump is belittling Governor Whitmer of Michigan and withholding medical equipment from the state of Michigan. This is where, when I talk about depraved indifference, it means you have caused people to die by lack of action, inaction. So the president, instead of taking over under the Defense Production Act and getting all the orders that are needed and putting it under one head and nationalizing certain companies to get it produced faster, or the test kits that, you know, he had Pence standing out there telling you, oh, we mailed a million out. We haven't even seen a million test kits yet. And this was a month ago that he said it. So learn the man is lying, but now he's lying about people who are dying. So his lies have consequences. So withholding from a state, that's how he feels he'll do it, as he just recently did. There was the Republican in the House of Representatives who decided he was going to stop the whole bill and make a scene of it and not vote on it because he wanted a count. Nancy was ready for it. She had enough people there to have a count of having a quorum. Trump has now said after he signed the bill that this man was a fool. Well, you know, because he didn't do what Trump wanted. Anybody who does what Trump wants is great. Anybody who does something of their own free will is bad. Easy enough to spot Trump. We've all run into people like this when we were growing up. He just has what's called arrested social development. He's never grown up and he's gotten away with this crap and he's got enough money. And he, at this point, has taken over enough power that he figures he can tell everybody what he wants to do. So, thank you all for listening again.
I want to remind everyone, the Democrats, prior to this bill, had put together a bill that was $8.3 billion that also passed prior to this that gave emergency aid for paid leave for people who were either going to be laid off or needed to take time off for whatever reason, especially for families that were affected by this pandemic. Nobody talks about that. You know why? Because the Democrats don't need to be loud. Obama was not a loud person. He was a thinking man, and he looked at the whole country as a country he needed to take care of, not your little group of 60 million supporters that Mr. Trump has, who he has armed and ready to kill us all because he keeps threatening us with that kind of stuff. We need to be careful about what is happening and the thing that he's telling us. So the $8.3 billion package was passed. Republicans left that weekend and went home while the Democrats were actually working the entire weekend to make sure that the bill passed. Tell me who cares for you. So this bailout is here. I'm a little bit concerned that companies are now going to be able to defer 6.2% of the Social Security dollars that come out of your paycheck that are supposed to go to your Social Security account. They no longer have to pay it right away. What does that mean to people who are on Social Security now when this money is not coming in? Why are corporations getting all of these considerations? And as a small business, you don't have that. You have two people or three people, a hair salon or whatever company you have. You've had to lay off people. You now have to go get a loan and then get people back, show that you kept them, wait a couple of years for it to be forgiven. In the interim, it's a loan. You owe the money. It's not deferred, but corporations are able to just get $10,000 credit per person. They're able to get all of these considerations. You have got to pay attention to what's going on. We are overly in debt, $1 trillion He did not inherit an economy that even had $200 billion in debt, but now we have a trillion, add $2.5 trillion on top of that, and whatever the hell else is coming up, who's getting this money going into his family's pocket?
Understand that the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, he was the president. Both houses of Congress, the Senate and the House of Representatives, were controlled by Republicans. During those 2 years, he gave out a tax cut that anybody who was alive and heard it gave billions to trillions when it's done being paid out to the wealthiest, that 1/10 of 1% or that 2%, whatever. Now, there's nothing wrong with anybody being wealthy. I love it myself. But giving them this extra money, and then people heard him when he went back to Mar-a-Lago after he signed the bill, he said, "I just made you richer." He was really saying to them, when you understand the way he thinks and talks, he says, "You owe me." In other words, he expects to get something from them in the back door. Then he cuts the corporate tax rates. I have told everyone who listens, I'm an economist by training, we the people pay the price of everything that goes into the cost of goods or services. So any taxes that were in there, we paid. So when he gave this big tax cut to the corporations, they used it to do stock buybacks, additional bonuses to executives and stuff. And that was put in as a permanent tax change, all of these things. Now in his stimulus bill, and I'm waiting to see it, I ran tax departments. I will be looking for the wording so I can see it. But I'm already hearing that the dollars he's going to give to the rest of us, because if the economy tanks, he really looks bad. This man who has control but really has no control and has no concept of how to control it. So the 1,000 or 1,200 or 3,000, if you're a family, that they're talking about that you're going to get once they can send the checks out the door, so they're going to make you happy, give you a little taste of the drug called a little money back. I'm waiting to see the wording, because I've already heard that they're saying that this is like an advance on your tax refund from maybe the year of 2020, so that when you file your 2020 return, the money he gave you now to keep you going so the economy doesn't look too ugly is going to come out of the refund you would get when you file your 2020 return, which means you've got nothing. Now, remember, we own the country. Every one of us has one share of America, whether we vote or not, whatever age you are, as a citizen, you own one share. I've told you before, it's worth around $200,000 apiece. We built America by paying taxes and fees and whatever else it took, buying chunks of land, fighting Mexico for it, and we built a country. But all the money that goes into government, the treasury, is our money. So if we are now hurting and we have to fight a common enemy, a virus, and we have to stay home and we have to pay rent or food, he could just tell people cancel it. By the way, day by day, I hear more corporations, big ones, and there's nothing wrong. They've gone to their landlord and they've said, by the way, we're not going to pay you the rent. And what's the landlord going to say if he's got an Amazon or a Subway or whatever else in his place? Who's he going to replace them with right now? Now, the little people who get this money in financial circles, when you've invested in something, as we've invested in our country, and we've bought with our taxes, equipment, land, buildings, and we pay salaries of these government employees, including the president and the Congress people. When we get some of that money back, if you were a corporation, and you had started it, and you put money in it, and you get some of it back, that's a return of your investment. That's some of the money you put in that company. It technically offsets what you paid before. It's not income. It shouldn't go against our taxes that we're going to pay. Why is it the people get the big tax cuts with tons of money, and nobody's taking it back from them? And we, that's why I'm waiting for the language, and believe me, I'll let you know once I read it. If they're going to take this off against them, that's what voting's going to do. If nothing else, come November, we get rid of everybody in that Senate, And everybody in that, everybody who didn't back the good version of the bill. Again, we've got a Republican Party that Trump has co-opted, and we need to get rid of all of them. Because Mitch McConnell has got them all dancing to the same tune, and they're voting with him. So it doesn't matter what the Democrats want to say. He's bringing nothing to the floor. We need to put them out on the floor when the next election comes. I used to work with Republicans in Washington many times, 30, 40, 50 years ago. They were regular Americans who had a more conservative outlook. That's it. I'd love to get back to that. Find those Americans who believed in the country, just had a different version of how to deal with it. Not people who decide they're going to tell us what to do. So again, this is the most important election probably in your life. And now we are all serving our country by behaving, by staying home, by separating ourselves. We are all understanding what it means to serve our country. Not just veterans like me who did. I am proud to serve again. If I have to sit in my house for 3 months, we'll get through it. This is good for us. This is going to save us from losing more lives. That's how you have to look at it. You can know that you are serving your country.
A couple of things. Lisa Sarniak, where is our return on investment? Well, that's a good question. Right now, it's just a little bit of money that people are gloating over. I don't know what $1,200 can do for a family. I don't think it can pay. They had some lady on TV today. I love where the Republicans find these people. Oh, it's going to pay my mortgage. It's going to pay my car payment. It's going to pay for food in my house. I mean, all of these things, $1,000 is going to be able to do. I don't know whether she lives in a hut. I have no clue. But it really, people, come on. You got to start looking at the fact that the people at the top are getting the most of the money they deserve, none, because they're not even paying taxes into our treasury. So our return on our investment, we shall see in a few months what that's going to do or not do. These are temporary fixes, patches, that really, if you're a family of four, it cannot pay your mortgage, it cannot pay your car payment, it cannot feed your family. I myself, on a weekly basis, would spend $150, $200 going to the grocery store. I have no damn clue what the hell I'm getting for that kind of money. But I'm just saying, that's a good question. When we read the law, we will be able to go ahead and see what's going on. Now, I want to talk about the steel industry and tariffs. Personally, and I don't even want to keep saying this, but I'm so tired of people blaming China and everybody else for the woes of this country. If you're a businessman, if you're a salesperson, and I come to you and I say, I want you to buy this product, you as the consumer have an option of saying yes or no. Well, that's what happened. All our greedy CEOs and a lot of our politicians allowed these corporations to go overseas and put plants and give all of our work and all of our industry to China, Pakistan, India, the Philippines, you name it, they've done it. Why? Because they wanted to have more money in their pockets. But you as the consumer, you're at fault. Why are you running to Walmart? Why are you buying all these products that are cheaper and disregarding your local stores? Why are you doing that? Because you want to pay nothing. You want to get it for as cheaply as you can or as free as you can. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Everybody should be paying for something in their lives. So now we get to the steel industry and he put a tariff on. And yes, for a couple of months, the steel producers were so excited. Oh my God, we're going to take over the market. By the way, China has 54% of the global market in steel. America only has 5%. And generally, we're using it for other things to export, not really to use it here. So the tariffs has actually been a bad situation for these steel makers, AK Steel, Steel Dynamics, and Nucor, right? Their stock prices have slid over 50%. They're worse than when Trump came into office. He made it worse by 80%. So what did he do for them? I'm convinced that Trump has stuff on all of these CEOs in America. They're all afraid of him, and I wonder what the heck they're doing that suddenly they're afraid of a man who's actually making their lives miserable. When Obama tried to force these companies to come and bring this money back or face taxation, all of you consumers went ballistic. Oh my God, how dare him tell corporations what to do? Well, we have a president right now that's what he's doing. He's beating them down every day and they're taking the beating. So the tariffs didn't work, aren't working. And by the way, we are exposed as Americans because we make nothing. Most of everything that we're using is being made overseas. You can't buy a damn refrigerator made by an American. You can't buy a television. You can't do any of that crap. Furniture when you go to the furniture store. Whose fault is that? It's our fault for not supporting our local businesses. Stop blaming a country or countries who were smarter in negotiating with our greedy CEOs that took the money and our jobs overseas.
And remember, when I was younger and I started to understand the economics and read more about it and the rest of it, I was so happy that my country had enough mineral and other wealth that, God forbid, there was a war. Because again, after World War II, we said, you know, if you have a war, you want to be self-sufficient. We had the mineral wealth and the proper ability to manufacture and do things from raw materials to make enough that we didn't need any other country to be self-sufficient. But when they started this thing, they went overseas, and what did they do? Think about it. They created a juggernaut called China. Now, I want the rest of the world to come forward and live better and get better, not stay in the past. But with all this money that they kept offshore, a lot of the money went into China's pockets, and they built a military that has already put their own emplacement on one side of the moon, that has already built a navy and an air force and everything else that could challenge us and threaten us. So we consider them an adversary, even though symbiosis says we got to live with this germ. I'm not saying stop everything we're doing, but we fooled ourselves. We offshored so much that we built them into a powerhouse. We could easily, if Donald Trump said, well, they're getting away with all of this, the tariffs, by the way, when he put a tariff on things coming from China, which is a majority of things coming in the country, when he put a tariff on it, the tariff was paid by us. It's an additional tax. Billions of dollars of these tariffs went into our treasury. He had control of the treasury, and he used those billions to buy off the farmers and other industries who were going to go out of business, so it didn't spread all over and say, look who's going out of business. So we, again, got fleeced. Forget the offshoring of profits. He onshored profits by putting these tariffs on that China didn't get. It went in our treasury, and he gave it out with no necessity of repayment, including, I forget, the one Brazilian company who got a ton of money out of it. So it didn't just help Americans. He's just doing things to keep everybody from knowing what he screwed up so that he can get reelected, because the next time round, with getting away with impeachment and getting away with lying and everything else, forget about the misogyny. I don't know why any woman would ever vote for this man. Bottom line is, he figures when he gets voted in the next time, he'll just tell Congress he doesn't have to listen to them. He'll tell the courts, I don't need to go to you. I have the right to decide this. He's been saying it since he got in, and he's been getting away with it little by little. And when you have a dictator, that's how they get. And you know what? I hope we get the point and we don't let that happen.
And I do want to say, continuing with this discussion, and then I'm going to go on to the primaries. President Obama came into office with President Bush tanking the economy. We were bleeding 800,000 jobs a month, mostly from government. state, local, and federal government. Remember that. And when he tried to help everyone, all of these families, we suffered, I suffered, lost everything. People were living in the cars with their kids. And this is white families, black families, everyone. And every little bit that he tried to do for them and for us, the big Republican Party said, oh my God, he's a welfare president. And you guys bought that cookie. And now we have a welfare president on steroid trying to cover up what he created, bailing out farmers, giving the northern money over to southern states in these little damn towns. That's what he's doing. He is the welfare president. Obama wasn't a welfare president. He was trying to actually help families. He was trying to make sure that he protected jobs. Why the unions voted for Trump reminds me of when they voted for Reagan. President Reagan, the minute he got in there, he made sure he destroyed the unions. And I don't understand people when you get something that you could be so ungrateful that you turn around and you put a person in who has done nothing, never served the military, doesn't care about our country, neither does his children, and you put him in because he screamed the loudest. You never even bothered to vet him out.
By the way, one of the worst things is when I try and discuss with people I have respect for, who I know are smart, who I know how to read and have read history, forget what happened in history. We're living today and tomorrow. And when I start to talk about Trump, the first thing I get from most of them is, before they answer my question about, you heard Donald did this or Donald did that, what do you think of it? They immediately say, but this guy did that or this person did that. They don't want to discuss it. I don't care what anybody else did. Right now, it's Trump who's got the reins. He's the one who's screwing us up, making us go through this, making states and governments and cities bid against each other when he should be running this thing so that we all survive it as a country. So when you understand this, I don't even want to broach the subject with anybody anymore. Because if you can't answer a question about the man and what he's doing now without turning to some other example, that doesn't make him right. If somebody killed somebody 20 years ago, I guess if I go out and shoot somebody, that's okay, because look, he did it. That's not the point. We live today. We live tomorrow. We're suffering today. We have issues that have to be dealt with. He likes to say he's a wartime president. He's a leader. He's afraid to lead because he's afraid that then people will say, but you put that in place. It doesn't work. Okay? We are going through a tough situation. We'll get through it, but learn from it.
I want to talk about something that's important and very dear to me because I came to this country. I'm a foreigner, but I'm an American citizen, and I would give my life for this country because this is where I got my education, and this is where I make my money. But here's what, guys, you need to start thinking about. People who don't play chess, people who didn't grow up in the street, people who don't understand the mindset of a Donald Trump, and they want to use fancy words to try to describe what he is, you're missing the end game with this man. Total control of the country as the dictator that he has been saying he wants to be. Little by little, with the help of Russia and other foreign entities that he's beholden to, that's exactly what's happening. Now, I'm going to read out to you the states that are canceling primaries. I don't understand why that makes no sense to me. Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Ohio, Puerto Rico, Rhode Island, Alabama. I mean, people, what this man is doing is he's going to drag this out until September or October, because he knows his ass is fried. If he loses and gets out into the real world, maybe he might end up in jail. Maybe, because he's already stacked the courts to make sure he wins. But you never know. You may get someone who finally decides, hey, I'm a judge. I'm in danger of being put aside and losing my position. No state should be canceling primaries. We should be allowed to vote. Trump just won a case in South Carolina and the Republican Party where they have canceled all of their primaries so nobody runs against Trump. And the judge, who's a woman, by the way, yet again, had the nerve to say that there is nothing guaranteeing people from having to choose someone to run for president. What the hell is wrong with that picture? Now you're saying that if you don't allow primaries, that's too bad for the rest of us? You got to pay attention to what this man's end game is. It's not taking care of you, and it's not taking care of the country. It's taking care of himself, paying back whatever the hell he owes to Russia and these other dictators, because he owes them, and he holds them big time. And we are going to suffer and pay the price. Mitch McConnell and many Republicans are also compromised with Russia for the money that they are taking behind the scene. Be careful, people, and you should be demanding that your vote count, that they should be primaries. We've had major wars, and we've never canceled an election, but he's going to do it. Mark my word.
Look, the other thing you have to realize, I've studied finance, economics, taxes, whatever. I'm into numbers. I'm into history. When you look at it and you want strategy, the guy running Russia is a former top KGB officer. So let's say he can spend hundreds of billions of dollars trying to build up his military and his armaments and everything else. Or he can spend a couple of billion dollars, which is a minor percentage of what he'd spend the other way, going through Deutsche Bank or other banks to fund Donald, who can't get funds from American banks because he stiffed them enough times. That wonderful businessman. And I'll remind you again, the man who started the show Survivor and then started The Apprentice was an illegal alien, type of people he doesn't want in the country, who gave him the format that built him up as this great business mogul. All BS. Bottom line is, we have to look at this period we're going in where Trump's saying, well, Easter, we're going to see what we do, and blah, 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 blah. I've studied religions also. Just looking at two of the major ones, Easter and Passover, the holidays coming up at this time of the year. Both of those holidays are about hurt and redemption and everything else. Both of those are to make us look back at what we've done, be thankful for what we have, and try and better ourselves. Easter and Passover are all about remembrance, but even more so than that, rededication to the principles we were taught to continue to prosper and grow and help our fellow man. Because the more we fight with each other, the more characters get away with doing what they want. So let's remember what this holiday season is about, and let's continue with what we're doing. And as I said, no one has to thank me for serving my country. We've got all those people who always served us, doctors, nurses, firemen, policemen, people who keep the trucks moving and the food in our markets. We are all in this together. One of the speeches Obama gave that was kind of famous was, there's no red America or blue America. There's just America. I may be misquoting him, but that's what he tried to say. This alien invasion by a virus is teaching us that we're all subject to the same crap. And unless we work together to beat it and do what's needed, we're going to lose what we've put together till this point. So this is going to be, as far as I'm concerned, a resurgence of Americana, where we as a people want to go forward, beat it, and do what's better for us, not for people who use us.
So Lisa, thank you for your comment. A few items at the grocery store is $100, the rich are getting richer. I'm amazed that nobody has noticed for months now that prices at the grocery store have gone up for items you've been buying for quite a while. I think that people have gotten so afraid of Donald Trump and so afraid of everything that's being said constantly. This is how dictators control your mind. The people have just been paying these prices. You're right. Prices have gone up for basic items. I don't understand why, but I could understand it when you think of the tariffs that are affecting the agricultural sector and other sectors in the country. That, of course, how else are they going to survive? So thanks for bringing that up. I do want to talk about a very important court case. ESN, which is stands for the American, no, I'm sorry. Give me a moment. I've kind of lost the name. ESN was a private studio that Comcast wouldn't do any business with. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The guy's name is Mr. Allen. That's his last name. I keep calling him Mr. Allen because that's the way I've always referred to him. Took it all the way to the Supreme Court, and he invoked an act called the Civil Rights Act of 1866. For most Americans who don't study history, don't remember anything about the Civil War, don't remember anything about Reconstruction, there was a Civil Rights Act of 1866. Blacks enjoyed that for a couple of years, and the Southern whites decided, oh no, we're not going to give them these rights. And he took it away. And that's why you ended up with the 1960s marches trying to get all that they had fought for back. And so the Supreme Court essentially said, but for the fact that you are Black, did you really suffer any harm from Comcast and all of these major cable companies not doing business or signing a contract with you? And the reason why Comcast and these cable companies didn't want to sign a contract with Mr. Allen, they said, well, your shows don't bring in enough audience. And he had a list of white shows that didn't bring any audiences either. They failed after a season or a couple of weeks on television. So what's the difference? But what the Supreme Court just did, and by the way, I'm calling out the liberals on the Supreme Court, because I don't just go after the Republicans. If Democrats do something that they shouldn't do or that is wrong or I disagree with, I'm calling them out too. I'm not going to be overly protecting them just because I'm a Democrat. I don't believe in that. I'll vote for a damn independent or Republican if I feel that the person that's in power today needs to have their ass kicked out. In this environment that we are in, I will tell you this. I will never vote for a Republican. They all need to be taken out because they're all dictators and they don't care about this country. What you need to worry about with this case, please go and read it. Women, minorities, you will no longer be able to file discriminatory lawsuits without proving beyond a reasonable doubt the intent of the company that you work for. You have no protections left. Forget the fact that this gentleman has lost his case. He has money. I'm sure he will survive. He would have been better if he could have won his case. But it impacts the rest of us. And because we're not paying attention, remember these judges are there until they croak. Okay? These laws stay in the book for 30, 40, 50 years, well beyond my life or their lives. This is a very important case. Please go and read the decision that these judges just made. That unfortunately is for the benefit of corporations. If he was a white company filing this suit, he would have won. But he wasn't a white company. It's a Black-owned company. And unfortunately, it's going to hurt all of us.
Let me just say something I forgot to comment on before. That thing, if it is in this tax bill when I get to read it, about companies being able to hold on to their piece of the Social Security that they pay and defer paying it, The interesting thing was years ago when they passed Social Security and they wanted to assure that that money would be there for people when they retired or needed it to live on and survive, if that was all they had, because they didn't necessarily have pensions, and pensions were played with till they got some laws that helped. Then they got rid of pensions. But anyway, Social Security funds, if they get to hold on, tax funds for Social Security and Medicare are generally what's called fiduciary funds. Fiduciary means they're supposed to be held when they take them out of your pay, or they have to pay their share. It goes into a separate account that nobody can touch, so that those monies that were earned are kept apart. If they allow them in this one to hold on to those funds for some period of time and spend them as they see fit without any oversight, that will be in addition to the trillions of dollars in this bill. And companies may use it and then go out of business. And where's going to be the money when we have the shortfall that they always say, well, it doesn't work and we've got to amend and cut Social Security? They are through the back door, possibly, and I'll wait till I get the language, grabbing a chunk of Social Security payments, which will be additional funds that corporations or companies or businesses will be able to use, whether they ever pay it or not. That's why these were always put into trust accounts when they were withheld or due.
And I want to...
That's another backdoor way that they're going to do it. I can't wait to read the wording in this bill.
And I want to follow up on that, because people, that's our money. That's for people in their 50s and 60s who are looking to retire, or you've lost your job and the only thing you have is reaching 62 to get your money. Now, what's that going to do? You have a president already who has the nerve to say, along with the Republican Party, they're going to do means testing for you to get your money that you're paying out of your paycheck. I am not in agreement with having people who have never paid into Social Security get Social Security. I'm dead against it. I'm dead against people who have their children on Social Security and their money is not being reduced by the money that they're getting apart from what they will get when they retire. I'm totally against that. But unfortunately, that's what's happening with Social Security, because we don't want anybody to starve out in the street. Pay attention to this. Our money is being stolen from us yet again. Yet again. So I want to talk about one of the things that I put together, and I'm going to go through it very quickly because the host has some closing statements that he wishes to make. I know people hate when I make this comparison between Hitler and Trump and dictators. Oh my God, Americans don't want to believe that this country could fail just like Germany or any other country. We will never have a dictator, yada, yada, yada. Okay, here's what dictators do. They are authoritarian, they are racist, they've got these ethnic myths, and they have the humanizing language. Well, Hitler and Trump did the same thing, and Trump is doing the same thing, actually. Trump says, make America great again. Germany said, make Germany again, great again, and we will win. While he took them into war, buried the country, and then the coward killed himself. They have this issue with the press, so they have to make you think that the press is a bad thing, so you don't get the information that you need. Or they get, like Trump, with Breitbart News and Fox News, they get their own medium to just continue lying and lying and lying to you while making everybody else the bad guy. They control the legislature, and after they do, they get rid of it and put their own people in place. Well, that's exactly what Trump has done. They shut down elections. They rig elections. It's exactly what Trump and Hitler did, and now he's doing. He has foreign entities actually rigging our elections and lying about it, and bots. There's something that came out yesterday where they're trying to accuse Mr. Biden now of things. They've paid off some people. I mean, this is how much they want to win. They've got this loud and bullying way about them that women go crazy. Oh my God, women used to cry at the feet of Hitler. That's how crazy it was, believing in this man. They actively advocate the courts to reverse existing laws that are for the good of the country and people. Well, that's what Trump and Mitch McConnell have done and are continuing to do. They promote anti-abortion rhetoric so that they could have more whites being born. Hungary just instituted a similar program. Be careful, be careful. They shut down trade and alliances to make sure that they keep you isolated. Exactly what Trump has done.
Let me just say there are so many things that we have to think about, but I'm going to tell you, my faith in my country and my fellow countrymen, women, children, whoever you are, is that we all came here. We were all born here. We were all taught that we have freedom. Again, as I've said, and we're seeing now, freedom is not free. And you know what? We're all serving ourselves by what we're doing to keep the country that we love, to keep ourselves able to do what we want. So I just want to say a few things that sound a little heavy, but this is absolutely what I've been thinking about since this was going on. Remember, even if you have to stay in your house or whatever, or curtail your activities, you are not giving up your freedom. What you are doing is you are preserving your life and your fellow citizens' lives, because we are the transmission medium. Okay? We now understand this. Then your duty as a human is for the benefit of humanity. So we have something else to say. Somebody called in, but we're going to get through this. But let's remember what we want to change and straighten out when we're done with all of this.
Before we cut off from the show, don't forget to catch the replays on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and of course, download the Culture Radio app to listen to our show. Follow the host on Instagram, and don't forget to like and on the comment and to comment on our show.
And the last thing that I'll mention that I hadn't mentioned before, and I don't want to get into the details, but believe me, I've seen the details, and I'm not joking about this. We're taking a census right now. I want you to send it in. But from what I've seen, there's extra census reports being sent out with extra, not the same names on it, different numbers on it. Do not be shocked that this wonderful president tells us how this was done so wrong and so poorly filled out and nobody did it. We had too many duplicates and too many people wanted to fill it out too many times. And we ended up with 300 million people in one apartment in Miami or something. So it has to be bad. The reason he will say that, and I hope I'm wrong, the reason he will say that is because he'll say that this shows that the census that we took cannot be trusted for allocation of funds. So folks, we're going to stick with the last one, which was 2010, which the Republicans used to hell to gerrymander and take over a lot of state and local governments. So I implore you, fill out your census. If you get an extra copy, don't send an extra one in if you've sent it in, because you will find out, and I hope I'm wrong, that we're going to hear that there was this tremendous overcount, can't be trusted, because after they tried to get certain citizenship questions in it and didn't, they made it so simplistic, they're probably going to say it was wrong and discount it. Watch what happens.
And by the way, I worked the census in 2010. I knocked on doors. There were a lot of questions in the 2010 census that were to help families. I filled out the census, and it's so simple, it's ridiculous. It's really not asking you anything. And watch for him to say that the illegals filled it out, that the Democrats rigged it. This is the shit he's going to say. Please be vigilant. You get it, you fill it out once. Anything else that you get rid of it. Realize that funding for your states and for programs that you need are based on the census. Representation at the federal level in the House and in the Senate, not the Senate, but the House, is based on the census. The House, it's 400 and plus members representing different cities within states. The Senate is set based on our Constitution. Two senators from every state makes 100. people don't sit home and not vote and not fill out your census, but don't do duplicates because this man is going to use it against us.
And by the way, it's already been known that in Washington, D.C., in this $2 trillion bill, instead of treating all of the Washington people who live there as citizens, they decided to treat it as a territory so they could give it less dollars, because the congressional people and the professional people, they don't need the money, but the people who live there need the money. So that was another dirty trick that's buried in this bill that has come out.
Well, not only that, people, please remember that Washington, D.C. is not considered a state. They're not allowed to vote on certain things. Why is that? Well, because the population of Washington is predominantly Black. It's where the seat of government sits. It's where a lot of the racist policies have come out of. And so you've got a group of citizens that still are being marginalized. But because people do not know the history of America, they don't really study it. They don't understand that even though it should be a state and they should have representation like all the other states, they don't.
And by the way, if I lived in Washington, D.C. and knew that I couldn't vote, I would probably make sure before I was unable to do it that I go rent an apartment in one of the nearby states or go move into some relative or friend's house, change it as my proper residence so that I could vote in that state and be counted.